This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
When we talk about gender-affirming care, the debate usually centres on identity, fairness and health. But what if there's another piece to this conversation, and that is the economics? Well, some new Australian research has followed tens of thousands of trans Australians over more than a decade and found something striking. So what does that mean for Medicare and for the national conversation? Karina Saxby is a senior research fellow at the Melbourne Institute of Applied Economic and Social Research at the University of Melbourne. Karina, welcome back to Drive.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get into the dollars, what were you trying to understand first when you started this research?
Yeah, so I suppose there's been a lot of debates, as we know, around whether gender-affirming care should be publicly funded. And a lot of the time, some of the politicians and decision makers will say things about, oh, there's uncertainty around the long-term outcomes and things like that. So what this research really tried to do was look at, okay, what does happen in the long term? How does it impact costs? And in particular, how does it impact mental health treatment costs? Because we know that gender-affirming medical care is like one of the key treatments for gender dysphoria and improving mental health in trans people.
Now, your research shows trans people were using mental health services between 3 and 7 times more than the average Australian before accessing gender-affirming care. What does that tell us about the level of distress people were experiencing?
Yeah, exactly. So we see that trans and gender diverse people use a lot more mental health treatment than the average Australian. A lot of that is driven by experiences of gender dysphoria, but also sadly a lot of it is also due to things like experiencing stigma and needing to seek some mental health support as really a way to try and cope with that stigma.
Now something changes. Now this is quite positive. After starting hormone therapy and having surgery, what happens to the use of mental health services?
Yeah, so we see that, you know, in this really large sample of trans people, we see that after people initiate either hormone therapy or receive gender-affirming surgeries, we see that mental health treatment significantly drops off. And that's for people who receive top or bottom surgery or who started testosterone therapy or estrogen-based hormone therapy. So we're seeing it for lots of different groups. And really what we're seeing is that with increased time since initiation of that gender-affirming care, we see these persistent reductions in mental health treatment, and these are really significant reductions, and they're persisting into the long term. So up to 6 years after, we're still seeing these dramatic reductions.
Which is amazing. Now, let's talk the numbers, because we know that governments listen to numbers. When someone has the surgeries or the treatments, what did you find happened to Medicare spending over the next 5 years or so?
Yeah, so we saw these huge reductions in mental health-related Medicare spending. So for people who were receiving, say, gender-affirming hormone therapy, we see that the cost towards mental health treatment, they're reducing, depending a lot on the person, but between $30 up to $300 per person per year, reduction in Medicare savings. And then if we look at people who are receiving, say, top surgery or bottom surgery, the reduction in cost was even higher. So we're seeing, you know, between $300 to $800 per person reduction in use of mental health treatment costs.
We're chatting with Karina Saxby from the University of Melbourne about some new research showing gender-affirming care can reduce mental health service use and also save Medicare millions of dollars. Karina, if these surgeries were properly rebated under Medicare, what would your modelling suggest in terms of, you know, the offsetting of these costs?
Yeah, so we had a look at what were the proposed Medicare fees. So they're currently considering listing this on Medicare. And we're looking at like a rebate between, you know, $1,000 to $2,000 per surgery item. And then when we look at our mental health reduction, you know, which is, we know that it is accumulating over a long time, even if we look at this sort of short-term outcomes, we know that that one-off cost towards those surgeries, it's already offset by the reduction in mental health treatment costs within 3 years of having that surgery. And this is very much a conservative estimate, But if I look at that, the sample that we identify being on sort of hormone therapy and how many we expect would have top or bottom surgery, the savings over 5 years, it's around $42 million. So this is huge, huge savings.
There's often debate around regret rates. What does the evidence show compared to other common surgeries?
Yeah, so there's quite a lot of evidence showing that regret rates are really, really low. So say less than 1% or so for gender-affirming surgeries. And important to note that this is so much lower than some of the other really common surgeries. So, you know, knee reconstructions, regret rate for that is 10%. Some other cancer procedures, it's like 20, 24%. So, you know, we do fund those procedures. So this is really putting forward, you know, the economic argument that given these low regret rates, given it's very cost effective, you know, it's an economic argument to fund these types of treatments as well.
This is really good news, Corinna.
I know. Yeah.
It's really good news. What do you think it will mean for how we think about gender-affirming care, not just as a social or political issue, but as public health policy?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people would say, you know, if you've got gender dysphoria, just have mental health treatment. And, you know, there's this idea that you could keep seeing a psychologist and everything to sort of manage your dysphoria and these negative experiences. But that is really just sort of masking the symptoms. It's not actually treating the underlying condition, which is gender dysphoria. And what we're showing is that when you use this medical affirmation, as we've seen in lots of other empirical studies, it really does improve people's mental health. And as a result, we see other improvements in terms of this reduction in mental health costs. So I'm really hoping that this is used as more of a evidence-based argument, you know, towards, you know, the positives of, you know, making this care available.
Is the government listening to the results or have they seen them?
It's very hard to know. Sadly, as we've seen recently, you know, Queensland and the Northern Territory, you know, there is really good empirical evidence around the mental health benefits in terms of even like suicidal ideation, things like that. But, you know, this is the first time this information on costs has been made available. So I'm really hoping that, you know, this information can get out there and we can really just paint this economic argument as well. And also just trying to help, you know, decision makers understand that there are really significant costs associated with delaying these decisions as well. So you could think about some of these costs that, you know, we could be saving from Medicare if we made this equitably accessible to people around Australia.
Corinna, thank you so much for sharing it with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. That was Corinna Saxby, Senior Research Fellow at the Melbourne Institute of Applied Economic and Social Research at the University of Melbourne. If that chat has raised any issues for you whatsoever, you can check out a list of support services at joy.org.au/support.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.